There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. We are broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here. That's basically the top deck down here at Barasti. So do make sure you come on down and say hi to us throughout proceedings. Equally, you can get in touch with us via Dinternet. It is at Dubai iSport, or you can send us a text on 4001. What have we got? We've got 3 hours of world-class and international sport for you as we trawl through all the fixtures in a variety of different sports. If there is live sport on between now and 6 o'clock, then you will have all the latest brought to you live and direct here on the show. And as I said, if you are in the vicinity, do join us this afternoon as we delve into the worldwide of sport with our grill panellists who will give us their opinions and thoughts on all things sport. So keep you tuned here on Dubai 103.8. Lots to look forward to. We'll put you in the picture after this.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Text us on 4001. You can have your say by getting in touch at Dubai Eye Sport. Or better still, come on down here to Barasti. Beautiful afternoon and lots to look forward to. Going to be talked there by the Grill panel. We've got the head of sport with us here this afternoon, Mr. Chris McCarty. Afternoon to you, McDanger.
A very good afternoon to you, Tom. A very good afternoon to the listeners as well. And yes, I'm sure over the course of the next 3 hours, we will be reflecting on that bombshell news yesterday that Arsene Wenger is to finally walk away from Arsenal Football Club after 22 years. So all of that to come. There's an early kickoff in the Premier League as well. It is West Bromwich Albion taking on Liverpool. That one getting underway in about 25 minutes' time over at the Hawthorns. West Brom need to win it if they are to have any hope of staying in the Premier League next season.
We've also got Carl van Roosevelt with us throughout proceedings this afternoon. Some big games for rugby fans yesterday, more big games today.
Yeah, Tom, as you say, very good news for you and all the Gloucester supporters last night. A fantastic victory over the Newcastle Falcons, 33-22. That puts them into the Challenge Cup final. And then, of course, the big semi-final coming up today, Leinster taking on Scarlets. That's the first of the European Rugby Cup challenges. Super Rugby live at the moment. What I can tell you is the Reds are taking on the Chiefs in Brisbane, and the Chiefs are giving them an absolute hammering. 62 minutes played, Chiefs 31, Reds 7.
Let's get more from the boys on some of the big stories of the week as well. None more so than Carlos van Roosevelt, this time last week, mentally preparing himself for one of his toughest examinations of his fitness. What marathon have you just done?
Yeah, Tom, I was on Monday morning, the 16th of April, a day I will never forget, 2018, ran the Boston Marathon, and I must say, the toughest thing I've ever done, worst weather conditions, I think, in the last 60 years of the marathon, and very windy, very cold, very, very wet, but glad to have the medal around my neck and completed it.
And what made it so difficult this year? Just those weather conditions?
Yeah, I think there was 30-mile-an-hour wind. I think the wind chill factor was -6, and it was just beltering down with rain the whole way. So it's basically like you would be walking in your soggy Wellington boots across a field. That's kind of how the running shoes felt the whole way. And as I said, just terrible, terrible conditions. But other than that, fantastic event, and as I said, just happy to have finished it.
Was it just you moaning about the weather, or did others moan as well?
No, you can ask the likes of Lee Ryan and Benjamin Broderick and a couple of other lads that ran
the
for the region.
The guy from Blue?
Sorry?
The guy from the band, Blue?
No.
Right. Not that Lee Ryan.
No.
Different Lee Ryan.
No,
right.
Lee Ryan, a very well-known runner here in Dubai, and he said one of the toughest races that he's ever run. So I think, if you look at, I think there was 29,000 and odd people registered. About 3,300 didn't pitch up for the race, and during the race, 1,200 withdrew. So I think it gives you a good indication of how tough it was out there in Boston on Monday.
Some massive news over the last couple of days from the world of sport, as was highlighted by Chris McCarty just a few moments ago as well. Obviously, this is something that's been discussed by football fans the world over in the last 24 hours or so. Put me in the picture. Arsene Wenger, is he still the manager of Arsenal or not?
He is still the manager of Arsenal Football Club. He will remain so until the end of the season, and then both sides will part company amicably. I think we saw the announcement yesterday, reading the reports today and over the course of the past 24 hours or so since that news became known out there in the public, Tom, it would suggest that Arsene Wenger has taken the decision to move on before he was pushed. Certainly what I'm reading is that Ivan Gazidis and the rest of the Arsenal hierarchy would have sacked Arsene Wenger at the end of the season were he to have denied or were he to have said no to walking away. So he's walking away with his head very much held high. I think now we need to get, I say we, I'm not an Arsenal fan, but the Arsenal fans need to get behind Arsene Wenger, because let us now, or let them over the course of the next few weeks, celebrate what he's done for that football club. Yes, we've all been naysayers in recent times. Yes, it's the right time to leave. I actually think that the right time to leave was probably last year after winning the FA Cup after that victory over Chelsea. But he's stuck around for another year. It hasn't been a vintage Arsenal season. And for the next few weeks now, I'm sure the Arsenal fans will pack into the Emirates Stadium. That is the stadium that was built by and large. Great work done by Arsene Wenger off the pitch. He's done a great job in ensuring on the pitch that they've stayed competitive despite the challenges that come with moving into a brand new stadium. So Arsene Wenger deserves an awful lot of respect, an awful lot of credit. He'll be given that over the next few weeks, and he'll then walk away into the sunset. And Arsenal have now got the task of finding the next man to take over a football club that has not changed manager since 1996.
CBR, let's get your thoughts on this one. Surprised?
Not really surprised, but I think, you know, Arsene has done a great job at Arsenal Football Club, and it's quite interesting to see the reactions of all the Arsenal supporters. You know, a lot of them had a lot of bad to say about him, but I think, you know, they're now coming out and saying what a great manager he is. I mean, the record speaks for himself, but I have to agree with Chris. I think stayed a little bit too long, you know. Other than that, he's done great things for the club, and I think ultimately one of the most legendary managers in the Premier League.
It's going to be tough for the club, isn't it, to find another manager that shares the first five letters of the club's actual name as well. I mean, they've set their bets very, very high, and the bar very high on that one.
Absolutely. I think that's a nigh-on impossible task now. But and all jokes aside, though, as well, you know, it's an enviable task in many respects for even Gazidis and the rest of the Arsenal hierarchy, because how do you replace a man? We saw Manchester United struggle with David Moyes coming in to replace Sir Alex Ferguson after 26 years. Arsene Wenger has been at that club 22 years. Yes, we all agree it's time for a change, but it's not going to be an easy one. Getting that appointment right is now the number one task for those boys, and better them than me, because we've seen some of the names mentioned. Brendan Rodgers, I know, has been mentioned. Carlo Ancelotti, Luis Enrique. A lot of speculation surrounding the Spaniard, who I thought was destined for Chelsea. Maybe not so now. There is speculation that he has already had talks with Arsenal. So watch this space on that one. They need, though, Carl Van Roosevelt. They need to get it right.
Yeah, but the big question is, Chris, do you go for short-term success or do you look for somebody long-term? What does Arsenal Club need at the moment? Do they need victories in the short term where you bring in, I'm just saying, names bit of thrown around, Ancelotti that can go out and buy a couple of players and bring you a trophy in a season or two? Or do you look at somebody, need I say, let's say a Brendan Rodgers or somebody that you're going to build more long term on?
It's a very good question. I guess always the ideal is that you get someone in that you can then build a new legacy and build a new club, and there's no doubt that there's an awful lot of work to be done at that football club. Arsenal have had a wretched domestic season. They're languishing sixth in the Premier League. It's not been good. It's not been vintage, and you know, it needs someone with personality. Carlo Ancelotti, I think, is absolutely perfect for that club. He will want, I would imagine, a war chest. He will want money to spend, because there is an awful lot of dead wood in that Arsenal squad as well that needs to be shipped out, and just better players brought in. So Carlo Ancelotti brings that. He brings the respect. He would get the respect in the dressing room, no question about that. He's had success wherever he's went. Or do they go for a Luis Enrique, someone who's had magnificent success at Barcelona, very much in the Pep Guardiola ilk? Do they look at a Brendan Rodgers, who's gone away, rebuilt his reputation at Celtic Football Club? Thomas Tuchel as well, I know, has mentioned, the German who had great success with Mainz and Dortmund, but again, speculation says there that he's off to Paris. So there's a number of names that will come into conversations and into the reckoning over the course of the next few weeks. And yeah, I'm sure an announcement won't be too long, because Arsenal, I'm pretty sure, I've already begun those conversations with agents and with managers. They've got to get it right.
What do you reckon, boys? Do you think it's a good way to do it with a couple of games left in the season? I mean, obviously, he would have had his say in that whole thing. Would it not have been better to see it through till the end of the season, then make the announcement?
There is that school of thought. I think once you've been at a football club for 22 years, and there's no doubt that, I wouldn't say it's poisonous, the atmosphere around that club. I wouldn't go that far, but it's not been good. A lot of Arsenal fans have been staying away from the Emirates Stadium, not bothering to show up to watch and support their club, because they're that exacerbated with Arsene Wenger. So I think having spent 22 years at a football club, you almost deserve this little ta-ra, going away, farewell party, call it what you will. Yes, it puts an awful lot more pressure on his players. They've got a two-legged Europa League semi-final at Atletico Madrid. They've come out to say, or certainly the reports are, that the players have already started a WhatsApp group. They're determined to do this for Arsene Wenger. But with that comes pressure. I think back to 2002 when Sir Alex Ferguson announced that he was to step down. The pressure built on Manchester United. You want to go out on a high for your legendary manager. So there's two schools of thought. I do think, though, Arsene Wenger, having spent 22 years at that football club, he deserves this farewell party. Whether it goes against them, we'll wait and see. I still make Atletico Madrid favourite, but you never know. There's the opposite way. It could have a real galvanising effect, and Arsenal could go out there and over two legs, they could beat Atletico Madrid, and who knows, they could bow out having won the Europa League.
Yeah, I'm kind of for the latter, where I think it will have the galvanising effect. And you know what? I think that Arsenal, in all honesty, they owed it to Wenger that he can kind of leave on his own terms. You know, I think they've done it the right way. I'd hate to see a legend like him axed at the end of the season or a couple of games to go, saying, you know, he's no longer the manager, we're kind of firing. So I'm glad they showed him the respect. But I think it's from the team perspective, yes, the pressure will be on there, but I kind of feel it will have the galvanizing effect, because obviously they would want to send the manager off on a high, and I think that means European glory for them.
Your thoughts would be appreciated on this one. You can text them to us now on 40001, or better still, come on down here to Barasti. Make sure you get involved.
You're a West Ham fan, Tom. You don't want David Moyes sticking around after the season, do you?
You know, there is that school of thought, isn't there? And there's a large and very vocal element of West Ham support that say, you know, he's the wrong man for the club.
Arsene Wenger?
Well, that's the next question, isn't it? What's life after Arsenal for Arsene? I mean, surely you just hang up your boots, wouldn't you?
I don't think he does. From what I know of Arsene Wenger, he lives and breathes football. He's not ready to retire. Certainly, that's what I'm hearing. Does the France national team job become available after this FIFA World Cup? Yeah. Didier Deschamps, that's a possibility. Does he get a role, perhaps, at PSG? He's got close ties with the owners over there. That is a possibility. And I did see one little report today saying that Everton may well stick their hands up for Arsene Wenger.
I don't see him in the Premier League again.
I don't either.
Surely not. I think, you know, with 22 years with Arsenal, the success he's had, the respect he's got, I don't really think he wants to get into a situation where, you know, he's fighting a battle for relegation, and I'm not saying that West Ham will be in relegation again next year, but I think that the next step in his career is surely the national job for France, and then, as you say, after that, kind of call it a day.
Yeah, I think that would tally. If Didier Deschamps decides that, you know, he's done his tenure, he's done his time as France national team boss, there is some thought that he may well step down after this FIFA World Cup, despite what France do in it. So watch this space on that one. And we've heard of the reports in the past week that Thomas Tuchel has agreed a two-year deal to replace Unai Emery at PSG. That might change now. We do not know. Maybe there's a director of football role for Arsene Wenger over in Paris. But one thing's for certain, he's not done with football. Yes, he's done with Arsenal, but he's not done. And looking forward to seeing where he continues his career.
What about that other school of thought that Arsenal now need to turn to a former player? They need to bring in somebody who is revered by the fans, that has worn the club's colours with pride as well. I know Patrick Vieira has been talked about a lot, hasn't he?
Patrick Vieira has, but he's Manchester City's project. There's been some thought there that they've invested a lot of time, a lot of effort into Patrick, that he is the natural successor to Pep Guardiola, whether that be 3, 4, 5 years down the line. I don't see Patrick Vieira, honestly, at Arsenal. I don't see Thierry Henry. I think it's all too early. I think they need someone. When you're succeeding someone like Arsene Wenger, who's been at that football club a long time, you need someone experienced. You need someone who's had success. So I think they will go a different direction. One other former Arsenal player who has had success, and he's a young man, is Giovanni van Bronckhorst over in Holland with Feyenoord, champions last year. He may be someone. What about Mikel Arteta as well, who's currently on the coaching staff at Pep Guardiola? I see Arteta and Van Bronckhorst as more of realistic candidates than I do Vieira and Henry. Vieira, what's he really done over in New York? Not much. He's very much a Manchester City man right now. Thierry Henry, coaching staff of Belgium, I think it's too early for him. So if I was to look at any former Arsenal players, I'm looking at Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and I'm looking at Mikel Arteta, who Pep Guardiola has himself said, and speaking to people close to that club, Mikel Arteta is destined to have a very successful managerial career. Whether that starts with Arsenal now remains to be seen, but there's no doubt in my mind he will be a success in the future.
We need to break for a quick breather. When we come back, we'll put in the picture of what's happening in the Premier League, because whilst there is a major focus on all things FA Cup, we've got some great semi-finals to look forward to over the weekend. There is the small matter of survival in the Premier League for several of the big clubs as well. So we will be talking Premier League. We've got an early kickoff to talk up to at 5:30. There's also an early up in Scotland as well, and an early in Spain. So football underway already.
Fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, plenty going on down here at Barasti this afternoon. All sorts happening out there in the pool and on the beach and up here at the rooftop garden as well. It's The Grill with you through until 5:30. We've got all sorts of interactives as well. We're going to be introducing those to you a little later on. But lest we forget, there is the small matter of world-class sport taking place around the world. Let's go to Spain first, where there is an early kickoff, and as is usually the norm, it's a couple of the lower clubs that have got the honour of kicking off at midday Spanish time over in La Liga. Eibar are taking on Getafe at the moment, and it looks like the 22 players aren't that excited about the early kickoff either, because it's absolutely stalemated. This one, 0-0 at the moment with, 23 minutes gone. We do have a couple of earlies, though, to look forward to up in the United Kingdom. There is an early north of the border up in Scotland. Celtic are in action today, aren't they?
They are. They're taking on Hibernian, where a victory for Celtic today at Easter Road will ensure a seventh successive Scottish Premiership title. Yes, so they got that 4-0 win over Rangers last weekend in the Scottish Cup semi-final. So they're on the cusp once again of a domestic treble. That would be two in successive seasons. No manager in Celtic's illustrious history, not Jock Stein, not Martin O'Neill, achieved that. Brendan Rodgers is essentially two games away. Win today and then win that cup final at the end of May against Motherwell, and he'll have done back-to-back domestic trebles. Mental.
Extraordinary achievement there. Let's get to the Premier League now, though, because there is an early kickoff for you. Just two games in the Premier League today, because it is FA Cup, Emirates FA Cup weekend at the moment. West Brom are taking on Liverpool in the early. West Brom, are you allowed to talk about West Brom at the moment or not? Are you still a bit ill,
no,
a bit sick
we
about
can
West
talk
Brom?
About it.
Are you cool with it?
Okay. Yeah, we can.
All right. But let's go to see what the two teams have done. So West Brom, in a world of bother, still mathematically down or not?
No, not mathematically down at all. That victory at Old Trafford last week ensures that they can still stay up. I don't think that they will, but they still can. It'll be very interesting to see. Liverpool have made changes this afternoon, so West Brom, they've got a bit of confidence for the first time in months, seemingly, in the Premier League. So a victory today, Tom, and I wouldn't rule it out at the Hawthorn, and you just never know.
West Bromwich Albion are under caretaker management at the moment. Has he had an impact on the team? They brought a club legend, Darren
yes.
Moore, played pretty much the majority of his career at
Absolutely.
The club.
Yeah.
So revered by the fans. And maybe that's been the sort of thing that they've needed most as
Absolutely
well.
Absolutely it is, yes. When you've got a wholly unpopular choice of manager in the shape of Alan Pardew. Darren Moore is a club man, as you rightly point out. He'll galvanise the players. He's got the support and the backing of the fans. And, you know, to go away to Old Trafford and win, not many teams do that.
Yeah.
Beat a Jose Mourinho side on their own park. Man City did it earlier in the season. West Brom are the only other team to do so. So credit where credit is due. And if he finishes, even if they go down, Tom, if West Brom can pick up victories, pick up points between now and the end of the season, he puts himself in a fantastic opportunity and position to take that job long term.
So West Bromwich Albion taking on Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp takes his boys down to West Brom for this one. Team news is obviously through at the moment, McCarty. Any big surprises to you?
Not really, no. Liverpool have obviously rung the changes. They've got the small matter of a UEFA Champions League semi-final on the horizon against AS Roma. So Jurgen Klopp's looked to shuffle his deck. For West Brom, Foster in goals. It's a back four of Neom, Dawson, Higazi and Gibbs. Midfield four of Matthew Phillips, Jake Livermore, Chris Brunt and James McLean. And then it will be Jay Rodriguez and Jose Rondon up front for West Brom. For Liverpool, as I say, changes afoot. Carriou starts in goals. It's a back four of Gomez, Clavin, Van Dijk, Moreno. So no Robertson, no Lovren and no Trent Alexander-Arnold. They're the three that you'd expect to come into that back line for that first leg against Roma in midweek. The midfield three is Wijnaldum, Henderson and Milner, and then the front three, it is Salah, Danny Ings given another start by Jurgen Klopp, and on the opposite flank it will be Sadio Mane. So Roberto Firmino being given the day off, he'll be wrapped in cotton wool and he'll be ready to go
in midweek against Roma.
Let's hear from the managers, shall we? Let's start with Darren Moore, who is the caretaker manager at West Brom. He entertains Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool. We'll hear from Darren Moore first and Jurgen Klopp second.
We can't change what has gone. We're just looking to the future now, and that's all we've done as a football club, and we'll continue to do that. What's gone's gone. We can't change that now, but we're just looking to the future and the remaining games.
We have to see what will happen, but of course it's always that you want to finish better than the year before. That's the minimum target you have. So hopefully we can finish the season again in a Champions League spot, and then there's again we have a little bit of space for improvement football wise and result wise. And what you need for that is consistency. The gap we have between us and City was not in the games against City, it was in other games, and a few points we missed because kind of was unlucky, I would say, and a few was of course our own responsibility, and we have to work on that, and that's what we will do, of course.
Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool are in the early kickoff. Players just in the tunnel at the moment, making their way out onto the field at West Bromwich Albion. Any goals in this one? The boys all over that one for you. They're keeping an eye on the game. It is on the big screen down here at Barasti, so if you are in the vicinity, do come and watch it. A beautiful afternoon down here at Barasti, and all sorts to look forward to as well. Just a quick one before we go to another break. Going down to the Championship, it is the business end of the season, obviously, at the moment. All sorts happening in the Championship. I mean, the schedulers must have their work cut. Every time I put the TV on, there's another game in the Championship.
The Championship is unforgiving, Tom. It's one of, if not the most competitive leagues in the world, and I truly mean that. It's bonkers at times, and honestly, I don't think enough praise is given to the players. Yes, they're professional, but you're right, there seems to be a Championship round of fixtures, certainly in the business end of the season that we're now in. It's midweek, weekend, midweek, weekend. There's no real rest and no time to recuperate in the Championship. But the big story is that Wolverhampton Wanderers will be back in the Premier League. Whether they'll be champions or not remains to be seen. But they top the table. They're 10 points clear of Fulham. They had a 3-0 win away at Millwall last night. Fulham, what a run result, they've put. Yeah. Oh, great result. They've put on a real good run of results in the last couple of months. So they've put themselves in the second automatic qualifying spot. They are 2 points clear of Cardiff City. Crucially though, Neil Warnock's Cardiff, they've got two games in hand, starting with their match later today. Who are they taking on here? Let me just double check. They're taking on Nottingham Forest later this evening, that one kicking off at 10:45. So given the fact Nottingham Forest haven't been in the best of forms, you'd expect Cardiff to get the victory there. That would then put them 1 point clear of Fulham with three matches to go. So I still fancy Cardiff to get the job done. It's their fate is in their own hands, but watch out for Fulham. They've been playing some beautiful football. After Wolves, for me, they're the second best team in that league, but they've maybe just timed their run a little too late.
Which makes for interesting reading when come playoff time as well, because we've got Millwall, Middlesbrough, Villa, Cardiff and Fulham, as you mentioned there, and Derby not out of it as well. Derby and Preston, even Sheffield United, they're just a couple of points behind as well. So that run into the playoff spots could be very interesting.
Absolutely, all the way down to 11th. So you've currently got Cardiff in third, Villa fourth, Middlesbrough fifth, Millwall sixth. What a season under Neil Harris. Then you've got Derby County, Preston North End, Sheffield United, Brentford, Bristol City. Bristol City on 65 points. Millwall occupying the last sixth place, the playoff spot. They're on 69. So 4 points separating them. That's anyone's game, really. If Bristol City can win their last three, then they will feel that might just give them a real good opportunity of sneaking into the playoffs. And we say it so often, Tom, the teams that time their run of form are the teams that more often than not end up in the Premier League. You don't necessarily need to have been the best team all season long. Just need to ensure that you're coming to a lovely run of form, and if you can do that, the momentum's with you, and it gives you a great opportunity.
It's like you mentioned, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned Bristol City there, who still could get themselves into a playoff place, but they could possibly look at this season as being an opportunity missed, because they were on absolute gambusting form early doors.
You could make a very good case for saying that League Cup run. They beat Manchester United at Ashton Gate. They then pushed Manchester City all the way in the semi-final two-legged game. That actually kind of derailed them a little bit. They went on a wretched run not long after that where they couldn't buy a win. Lee Johnson, young British manager, who's done a great job. There was a lot of fans that weren't happy with the job he was doing. He's won them over this season, and okay, they might miss out, Tom, but I think there's been good foundations laid at Bristol City. The Robins are on the up. And if they don't get up this season, you can bet your life they'll be there or thereabouts again next season.
Where's that come from? Big money? Big investment?
Yeah, a lot of investment. The chairman, Steve Lansdowne, if memory serves me correct, is someone who is very ambitious, spent a lot of money in France. In actual fact, my friend up in Sweden was telling me that Bristol City have a lot of scouts up there. They've spent big money in Scandinavia as well, have Bristol City. Steve Lansdowne not afraid to dip into his pocket to spend big. That being said, Tom, they've not got the budgets of an Aston Villa, for example. They've not got the budgets of a Wolverhampton Wanderers. So the fact that Bristol City are 11th right now, they're 4 points off of a playoff spot, I think is actually, they're probably punching well above their weight, and that's testament to the job that Lee Johnson and his coaching staff and the players, of course, have done this season.
You heard your face lit up there because he's a man who likes his sport in general, doesn't he, Steve Lansdowne?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, I think, you know, at the end of the day, money well spent. They're getting the
result. He invested into the rugby club as well, though, didn't he? Pretty sure he did.
If memory serves me correctly, I think you could be right. And that's what I was saying yesterday to you, because your man John Afar, who's now playing for Gloucester, is going over to Bristol next season. So maybe it's a little bit of an injection.
Only because they're coming up, aren't they? They're going to come up into the Aviva. So there's been another money investment into there. It's interesting to see that you've seen investment into rugby, investment into football, and it seems to be paying dividends.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, Steve Lansdowne. He's a Bristolian. Is that what it's called, Bristolian? He's a man that's passionate about his football and wants the best for what is a sporting city. I've never been. I've never had the pleasure of popping down to Bristol. They've got Bristol Rovers, another team as well. But for Bristol Rugby, spent massive money in the last 12 months to try and get in and knock it up with the big boys. So watch this space with Bristol, and watch this space with Bristol City on the football field as well.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, we are going to be telling you more about the hashtag Kick Cancer 2018 promotion, which is ongoing. In fact, we've got one of the ambassadors with us. We'll be talking to His Excellency, one of the ambassadors, in just a few moments' time. Of our own Chris McCarty.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Good old Chris McCarty talking up West Bromwich Albion. There's been a goal.
There has been a goal. It is West Brom 0, Liverpool 1. So I've just cursed West Brom, I think. 3 minutes gone on the clock at the Hawthorns, and it's Danny Ings who's given a rare start for Liverpool up front. He's been flanked by Mo Salah on one wing, Sadio Mane on the other, but it's Danny Ings, that old poacher. We're just watching a replay of it now. It's actually a corner from the left-hand side. It's played short to James Milner. It's thrown back to Sadio Mane. Beautiful piece of skill down the left wing. He crosses it with his left foot, and there's Danny Ings, and that poacher's instinct, just right place, right time, left foot, past Ben Foster, no chance. West Brom 0, Liverpool 1 in this early kickoff in the English Premier League.
No goals as yet up in Scotland in the game there, but there has been a goal over in Spain where Matias Oliveira has scored for the visitors. Getafe have taken the lead against Eibar. Header from Oliveira after 23 minutes. So it's 1-0 there. Plenty going on in that. There's also live rugby for you as well, CBR.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is the Reds against the Chiefs. That game is coming to an end. 81 minutes played. It's the Chiefs that are victorious there. 31 points to 12. Early on this morning, the Crusaders took on the Sunwolves, and the Crusaders beating the Sunwolves 33 points to 11.
Loads to look forward to in the world. Is there a Grand Prix this weekend as well? There is, isn't
it?
It's not this weekend.
Not this weekend.
Azerbaijan next weekend,
Baku
is it?
Baku next weekend, yes.
And that's one of the latest stops, isn't it? The newest stops.
It is. I'm doubting myself.
Third year, I think.
It is definitely next weekend. They were in China last weekend for one of the best races I've seen in years. And yeah, Baku next week.
So let us now turn our attention to other things going on here in the region, because it is an absolute pleasure to welcome to the show our first guest today. And it is the project manager of a new activation, a new awareness campaign which has been rolled out here in the UAE. It's called Kick Cancer, and Haya Murray is the project manager, joins us live from our broadcast position down here. Haya, thanks so much indeed for your time.
Thank you, Tom, for having me here. It's a pleasure to meet the team.
We've heard a lot about the hashtag Kick Cancer campaign. Talk to us about the inspiration for you and the rest of the team. Why did you choose this particular format to get the awareness out?
So basically, we were very active in the front of raising awareness on breast cancer, but we never really had the right recipe to raise awareness on prostate and testicular cancer. And we know that the target age target group for prostate cancer is 45 and above, while testicular cancer is 15 to 35. So what's the best sport that kind of combines both ages, which is football? football. So we basically wanted to, the term of good football to football for good. So that's kind of the angle that we're working on.
And in terms of the message you're trying to get across there is get people asking questions about prostate cancer, about the condition as well, through sport. Is that the idea?
So basically, we're encouraging people to be healthier. So how can you encourage them to be healthier? It's through sports. And what is most active sport is football. So basically, combining football and combining the awareness in a fun campaign where it's not very scary to talk about a common issue, which is prostate and testicular. For instance, prostate cancer is the second most effective cancer for men in UAE.
In terms of the rollout, you mentioned there about the affiliation with sport. Did you have a discussion about other sports, or is it always going to be football?
No, we've had the golf, the UAE actually, cricket team actually do the bin challenge, and they've posted it. And we've had the Golf Sharjah Golf and Shooting Club actually do it with their golf. So we've been in touch with different kind of sports. We've even had a karate champion do the bin challenge while kicking it and shooting it in the bin. So we're trying to really reach out to different sports, but with kind of the focus of having a football in the theme.
It's an initiative from Friends of Cancer Patients that aims to raise awareness around testicular and prostate cancer through the power of football, the power of sport, the power of movement as well. You've mentioned the bin challenge there. What is it?
So basically is you get a football and you get a bin, and then you do a cool trick and you have to score it inside the bin. The football kind of signifies cancer and something that you don't want to have and you want to get rid of. So we encourage people to take a video, to grab a football, to grab a bin, do cool tricks, shoot it and film it and put it on social media, hashtagging KickCancer2018 and Bin Challenge, and being part of our campaign. It's just that simple.
What's the response been like so far?
It's been really good. We've had actually a lot of participation in the UAE and outside the UAE. We even had Chris McCarty take his challenge and do it and challenge other
20
people.
20 takes is how much it took. It probably took about 42 takes in all honesty. I did it with the F2 Freestyler boys, and there is an added caveat to that, because we all look to get it in within three touches. So do a little, nice little trick and get the ball into the bin within three touches. I kind of played around with the rules a little bit. I only take one touch, but the F2 Freestylers essentially have to set it up so that I can't basically miss. We tried another variant. I wasn't very good. So after about an hour and a half, the sun was beating down. We gave up, and literally they just carried the ball with their head to the bin. I come along, nod it in, and then I challenge three of my buddies to go and do it.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, you're a tidy footballer, Chris. You played throughout your life as well. You can handle yourself on a field. It sounds straightforward, the bin challenge. It's not.
It isn't. You can make it as simple or as hard as you want. That's the beauty of it. And I wanted to come up with something that would be a bit different, that would go viral, as they say. Not that it's done that at all, really. But it's about having fun with it. There are some kids, I've been watching a lot of videos, some very talented young boys and young girls who have done some cool stuff in and around Dubai, around the UAE as well. Some very cool tricks in order to get the ball into the bin. So have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously, because there is an important message there. Challenge three of your friends, and let's get this message out there.
In terms of the we've seen other initiatives like this in the past which have gone viral, which have this sort of sharing challenge of opportunity. Is that because of the sort of power of the social media platforms at the moment allows us to get this message out to so many more people?
Yeah, so basically social media is a wonderful tool to reach people, not only locally but also internationally, and that's kind of the point. We wanted to use social media and the challenge to reach out to as many people as we can to help raise awareness, because if you think about it, there hasn't been much done for male cancer around the world. There's always around breast cancer, and the world turns pink in October, but there hasn't been anything in November, which is actually the highlight month for prostate cancer. And so this is something that we want to do, and social media has been our tool to use it.
I'm so glad you mentioned about other sports, those from other sports getting involved in the challenge as well, because we've got a man alongside you at the moment who's a little bit worried. Whilst Chris knows his way around a football field, this man is rather more at home picking up a ball and running with it as well. Two left feet, is that fair to say or not?
That's being very generous.
Just the one then, is it?
Just the one. But I'll tell you what, I got a very good tip from Chris watching him doing it. So I think I'll go for the same, just tap head it in. Basically no chance of missing.
Keep it simple. It will save you a lot of heartache. It will save you a lot of time, Carl. I just don't think me and you are qualified or skilled enough to do some of these Rabonas and whatever else these young kids are doing these days. I'm sure your boy Gus, He'd be good at this.
He's going to give it a go. He's over in the UK at the moment on a sports tour, but we'll get them doing it over there maybe in the UK and posting as well. And again, I suppose, is that one of the elements that we're and the avenues we're looking at? Children, youngsters, getting them involved through their teams, through their schools?
So basically, we just started last week, and we will move on for the next 2 weeks, where we're doing school activations. We're going to different schools across the UAE. We've done Ras Al Khaimah, we've done Ajman, we've done Sharjah, we've done Dubai, and we're going to continue, where we basically go out to schools, we set up the bin challenge, we have different rotational programs, where basically 3 versus 3, we have dodge the ball, we have do the bin challenge recorded. So basically kind of maintaining that idea that you don't want to have cancer, you don't want to have the ball, and just being really fun. We've received really wonderful feedback from the children. They've been posting, they've been talking about it. We even met freestylers that that are really into it, so they've been posting really cool videos.
And so when will you be running the challenge? And also, if somebody wants to attend one of these school challenges, what schools will it be happening at?
So basically, we have the GEMS. We have the GEMS network part of the... part of the schools, and the website, the calendar is actually up on our website. So if anyone is interested to see, they can go on our website, kickcancer.ae, and they can learn more where we will be and what activations. Like today, we have an activation here at Barassi, and we want everyone to come and do the challenge and post.
You're going downstairs to do that challenge, Carl von Roosevelt, and I will be filming it for social media as
and
well.
And vice versa as well. So you get
he's not,
well.
Not getting away with this.
Yeah. And I'll just stand up here and pull the strings, all right, fellas? Unless we can get one from here, Chris. Do you reckon we can nail it into the bin from here, from the top deck?
That would go viral, Tom. if I could get you kicking it from up here to down there, that would. Now, that is viral content right there.
Luis Suarez.
Yes.
Mentioned as part and parcel of the awareness. He's got involved. He's thrown his support behind.
So basically, Luis Suarez was the face of RTB ad, which is basically the concept of 1 in 3 men will get cancer in their lifetime. So he has 3 footballs in front of him, and the third one is the cancerous one, which is the one we don't want. So he plays with it, he dribbles a bit, and then he kicks it really far away into a bin, which kind of kickstarts the bin challenge. And he has challenged as well people, and he's challenged Chris McCarty, the F2.
Bizarre. It's bizarre is what it is. I'll let you watch that in the ad break, Tom. But yes, Luis Suarez, Chris McCarty. I'm pretty sure they've dubbed it. But it's brilliant nonetheless. It was a surreal morning waking up to that email being sent through. There's a video for you here. Luis Suarez challenging you to the bin challenge. Bizarre.
So you took it on.
I did take it on, and obviously I've tried to do something a bit quirky. I've called out one or two of our good friends, Miguel Silvestri. I know he's busy. He's promised me he's going to do it. Greg Rutherford as well. Luke Campbell, MBE as well. So there's a few big names I've looked to try and rope in. So Luke Campbell's in camp right now. He said as soon as his fight is done, he's going to pop on and do it. So it's about getting it viral. It's about getting it out there. And it's fun. But again, it's coming back to a very important message. And that's to ensure that we are looking after ourselves and that we are taking care and making sure that we're taking the necessary precautions.
And Haya, if people want to get involved, if people want to try it, are there sort of rules and regulations? Does the bin have to be a certain size? Or
no, it could be any size. We've seen people have small bins, the big bins that we're using.
Carl will need a skip. Just to make sure, otherwise we will be here all blooming night.
So basically, just we want you to have fun, but without losing kind of the message of awareness. So we encourage you to go on our website to actually learn the signs and symptoms, to ask a doctor if you have any questions. If anyone has any concerns, to email us, and we'll be happy to connect them with doctors that we work with.
It is, as was mentioned a little earlier on, going viral at the moment. There is lots going on out there. Good friend of the show, Anas Bukash, is involved as well. So you're getting involvement across nationalities, across different sort of sports, across different areas here in the region. Again, I suppose that's one of the key messages, to make sure that this is not just a football activation.
So basically, because we wanted to reach out across all the demographics in the UAE, and we know that football, although it has a lot of fans, but there are different other sports, different other interests. Anas Bukash is very active in social media. He has a great following. So he challenged public, basically, and he also challenged Sherif Fayed, which also has a different kind of demographics that follow him. So we have these different social media influencers that are taking part of the challenge, and already people are picking up from their Instagrams. Like if you read through Sharif Fayed's comments, one of the people were like, oh, I did the challenge. And if you go and you can see they posted and they tagged three people. So that's exactly what we want it to be. Yeah.
So it's challenging three.
That's it, challenging three. So do it, then post it up on social media. And then, yeah, just challenge three of your friends, three of your colleagues, whoever. Maybe challenge Tom Urquhart as well. I'd love to see that, Tom.
We'll try our best. We'll try our best. Dale Gordon been challenged yet?
He has not, actually. Dale was talking about doing it with his DG Pro management group of boys. So I think we'll maybe get him doing that in the coming days, and we'll post that up before Monday Night Football on Monday evening.
I'll tell you what we should do. I'm thinking of my feet here. Because my son is over in the UK at the moment. He's on a sports tour with Repton School. They've taken over about 30 kids or something. Tomorrow afternoon, they are in the changing room with Man City. They're in the changing room with Man City. They're going to the Man City Swansea game, and your man Mikel Silvestro has pulled a few strings and got all of them to go and meet and greet in the changing room with the players. Not sure if it's before the game or after the game, but let's get this hashtag going in there.
Yes.
Absolutely, get a bin in there. Paper up. I can see it now, Tom. You're doing more for this campaign than I or Chris.
Let's see if we can't get them. We'll get a bin in there. They've got a certain thing called
the tunnel.
Well, they've got the tunnel. They've also got a trophy that's being handed over to them tomorrow as well.
Is that being handed tomorrow?
Yeah.
It is. Wow, home what game. A trip. Mikel Silvestri, look at you.
So it's apparently, yeah, his contacts run deep in Manchester. I think most of them on the red side. So I hope we haven't blown his cover there and going to the blue side. But we will, yeah, so we'll see if we can't get that one organised. Listen, people want to get involved in this one. Best way for them to do that is what?
The best way is to follow us at Kick Cancer UAE on Instagram and all other social media to take part, to learn, and most importantly, to be more aware of the signs and of the symptoms, and just to always know that it's not a certain period. You have to be healthy throughout your lifetime. So basically, it's a continuous kind of checkups. You have to be more aware. You have to notice your body changes, and that's kind of what we want.
It is hashtag Kick Cancer. The boys have very kindly, well, one of them at least, the other one's being hard-armed into it, have kindly agreed to go and try it themselves. Why? Because we're set up down here at Barasti. So if you are in the vicinity, do come on down. Just on the middle deck, as you come into the main area here, you get the opportunity to try out the bin challenge. And equally, if that's something that you want to find out more about, people can find out more on the website, is that right?
There's more information on the website, where we will be, what we have done, who's taking part, and basically the signs and symptoms of...
Right, I will let these two go and limber up now, because we'll be sending them down to take on the bin challenge. We'll do that before the news at 4 o'clock. Hiya, thank you so much indeed to you and all your team as well for coming on down here. I know you're down here at Brassy trying to encourage as many people to take on the bin challenge. Have you done the bin challenge yet?
I've done it, but I haven't posted it yet.
Ah.
There's some editing going on, I think.
Making sure it goes in there.
Right, I will let you take these fellas downstairs and show them the ropes for the bin challenge. We will bring that to you after this.
The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
It's half-time over in Spain, where Getafe have taken a first-half lead against Eibar in the early in La Liga. It's 1-0 to the visitors, a goal from Matias Oliveira in that one. Liverpool lead West Bromwich Albion by the same goal margin in the early kickoff in the Premier League. And there is an early kickoff up in Scotland as well, but no goals in that one as Hibs take on Celtic. So get yourself down to Barasti. Do come on down and try out the bin challenge. Hashtag Kick Cancer awareness campaign been run out and rolled out across the whole of the UAE to raise awareness about testicular and prostate cancer here in the region and further afield. Chris McCarty is one of the ambassadors of the event, and he's down there on the bottom deck. We're up here broadcasting from the top deck. He's down there on the bottom deck. He's practicing at the moment as well. We didn't record that one, so you're going to have to go live now. Chris McCarty, tell us what's happening in the bin challenge.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yes, we are down here on the middle deck, myself and Carl Van Roosevelt, and just as you came to us there, Tom, I kid you not, we've just completed it. It's simple as that. We're going to do it live now. Carl's got the ball. Carl, what's the plan here?
Onto your head, back to my foot, and I'll put it in.
Right, let's go. Let's give this a go. Let's see how this is on live radio. Oh, that was almost, Tom. Just so I paint the picture, basically there, that was the equivalent of Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, little head tennis, and Carl missed, as I expected he would. Right, Carl, what's the plan this time?
Head.
On your head. Okay, here we go again. On the head. And then, oh, he's hit the post. Oh, Carl, that was easier to score. Right, third time lucky. What's the plan this time?
Let's try the same.
Right, I'll throw it to you. You're heading back to me, and then we'll get this in. Let's go. One,
two. Oh, Carl. You can see Carl's a rugby player, Tom, from up there.
One more go.
Right, one more go. Yeah. Let's get this one. Fourth time lucky. Come on. I told you it's not... Oh, off the post again, Tom. I told you we'd be here all night with this bin challenge.
You might have to ask Carl to use his feet in a minute.
Oh! Oh, Tom, I've just missed it again. It looks easy, but trust me, it's not. Oh, listen, Tom, back to you. We'll be here a while.
You boys, see if you can't get a couple more of those. We'll encourage as many people to come on down and try the bin challenge. Go on over and give it a go. If you think you've got the skills to take on the bin challenge, then get yourself over there, knock the ball into the bin for your opportunity to help raise awareness for testicular and prostate cancer here in the region. They've done it. They've only gone and done it. Chris, talk us through it.
Fifth time. Lucky, Tom. So essentially what's happened there is Carl's headed to me. I've headed it back. Carl has shown skills and technique I didn't think he had possible. He's swiveled on a dime. He's volleyed it straight into the bin. Easy peasy.
Isn't somebody meant to be recording it, though?
I'm hopeful.
I think someone's got it.
We've got a couple of more boys coming in now. Come on in, gents. Come on in. We've got a couple of gents who are going to give the bin challenge a shot. What's your name, sir?
David.
What's your name, sir?
Jonathan.
We've got David and Jonathan. And we've got...
Martin.
And we've also got...
Caelan.
Four of yous. Wow. I'm not quite sure how this will work. You're only allowed three touches, gents. So let me give you a ball.
Three touches, so you can go two or three.
Essentially, you're allowed three touches, so you can do whatever you want with it. Well, you can... one touch each. We'll allow three of yous to do it. One touch each. One of yous have got to get that in there. You might be here a while, but on we go. I'll pass the ball over.
So three touches and then into the bin.
Sorry? They're talking tactics here, Tom.
You can stand close too, wherever you want to stand.
You get one touch each, okay? So one to you, one to your man, and then you're the man that's going to shoot it into the bin, in theory at least. So they're talking tactics. We're ready when you are. One, two, three. They've hit the post first time, Tom. Right, let's go again, boys. That was good. Let's get it off the ground. There's one. There's two. Oh, he's hit the post again. Oh. See, the guys are challenging themselves, Tom. As you can see, it's not that easy. But these boys are good. And we've got a little young man wanting a little shot as well, I think. He's going to come in after these guys. So it's good, Tom. That's what it's all about, right? We're getting people involved. People are having fun down here. I say having fun. These boys are starting to get frustrated now.
Tom, I'm still the only one to have put it in. Just remember that.
Can you work on Carl? Have you got something to work with Carl, or is he a lost cause?
Well, I think there's skill there. I think Carl's going to be in here giving these boys... Oh!
He hasn't trotted out the Boston Marathon excuse or anything like that, has he? No?
Oh, they've hit the post again. No, there's no winds here today, thankfully. There's no sub-zero temperatures, so there's no excuses. Oh, they're getting there, these boys. They're getting there. You'll get there eventually, boys.
Boys, we're going to leave you to it. So Chris McCarty and our man Carlos van Roosevelt down there with the hashtag Kick Cancer campaign, which is taking place down here at Barasti this afternoon. If you think you've got what it is to get involved, three touches, get the ball into the bin, post that up onto the web and challenge three others. Pass that challenge forward.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.